we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled Outlook Shaped by the Spirit. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. I have just read from the New English Translation. When Bill gave his life to Christ, he was filled with excitement and a deep sense that God had great plans for him. He attended every church meeting he could, read his Bible, and told everyone who would listen that he was now born again. But as time went on, something seemed off. His spiritual growth stagnated. He struggled to walk in the Spirit, and the fire he once had began to flicker. What was the issue? Though Bill had surrendered his heart to Jesus, his mind remained shaped by the old ambitions he had forged as an unbeliever. His definition of success, built on the world's standards of wealth, fame, and personal gain, remained untouched. He still pursued the same goals he had before Christ, only now with a religious veneer. This was the reason he never truly walked in the Spirit or matured spiritually. To have your outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit means your values, desires, and goals are aligned with what pleases the Holy Spirit. What excites you, what motivates you, and what you live for are the very things that delight the heart of God. A carnal Christian, on the other hand, is someone whose perspective is still governed by the flesh. The things of this world, pleasure, power, possessions, are what appeal to him. He may speak the language of the church, but his heart remains tethered to worldly ambitions. He lives for himself and gives little thought to what pleases the Lord. In contrast, a spiritual Christian has been transformed from the inside out. He thinks about Christ often, and he lives each day with the desire to honor him. His ambitions have been redefined, his priorities reshaped by the Spirit. To such a person, walking in the Spirit is not a theory. It is a daily reality filled with the life and peace of God, Romans 8:6. Go into today knowing that walking in the Spirit requires more than a desire. It demands a complete reorientation of your life's purpose. You cannot walk in the Spirit while still clinging to a life shaped by the world. Let your goals, dreams, and pursuits be filtered through the lens of what pleases Christ. Only then will you experience the fullness of life and peace that God intends for you. Prayer. Lord, help me to live with my heart and mind shaped by your Spirit. Let the things that matter to you become the things that matter most to me. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Mark chapters 5 to 6. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Mark chapters 5 to 6.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice,
Son of the Most High God, in God's name, don't torture me.
For Jesus had said to him,
come out of this man, you evil spirit.
Then Jesus asked him,
what is your name?
My name is Legion.
And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus,
"Send us among the pigs! Allow us to go into them!"
He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said,
"Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you."
So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him,
"My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live."
So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought,
"If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed."
Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked,
"Who touched my clothes?"
"You see the people crowding against you,"
his disciples answered.
"And yet you can ask who touched me?"
But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her,
"Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader.
"Your daughter is dead,"
they said.
"Why bother the teacher anymore?"
Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him,
"Don't be afraid. Just believe."
He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them,
"Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep."
But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her,
"Talitha kum,"
which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed.
"Where did this man get these things?"
they asked.
"What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing?"
"Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?
And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them,
only in their own towns, among their relatives, and in their own homes are prophets without honor.
He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions.
Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them.
They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying,
John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him.
Others said,
he is Elijah.
And still others claimed,
he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago.
But when Herod heard this, he said,
John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead.
For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod,
it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled that he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl,
ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you.
And he promised her with an oath,
whatever you ask, I will give you. Up to half my kingdom.
She went out and said to her mother,
what shall I ask for?
The head of John the Baptist,
she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request.
I want you to give me, right now, the head of John the Baptist on a platter.
The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them,
come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.
So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him.
This is a remote place and it's already very late.
Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.
But he answered,
you give them something to eat.
They said to him,
that would take almost a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?
How many loaves do you have?
He asked.
Go and see.
When they found out, they said,
five and two fish.
Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said,
"Take courage. It's I.
Don't be afraid."
Then he climbed into the boat with them as the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Stream Globe is non-denominational and interdenominational. We encourage you to share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry and get more of our resources, visit streamglobe.org.